All right, it is 11:41. We're going to go ahead and reconvene this meeting. Jim, we're good to go, I take it?
You're good to go.
Wonderful, all right. Appreciate everybody's patience. We're on item number 29, which is discussion for possible action. Update, discussion, and provide direction to county staff and lobbyists regarding upcoming bills and legislation affecting Story County, including but not limited to the following: SB 69, SB 78, AB 77, AB 32, AB 128, SB 232, SB 247, excuse me, AB 247, AB 61, and AGA 40, and other properly related matters. County Manager Osborne.
All right, thank you, Mr. Commissioners. Austin Osborne for the record. I just want to note that Will Adler and Alex Tanchek from Silver State Government Relations are probably within a minute or two of joining us, so I'll try to organize a little bit around that, as I know they want to present a little bit of the alphabet soup you have in front of you here. I'm going to start off with a couple of generalities before they arrive. As we're bringing all of these items to the commission, my team and I are trying to come up a little bit of ways to create some efficiency and not overwhelm you with an unlimited number, I guess up to 1,000 different bills on these agendas. So when I talked to some other counties, and one suggestion was brought up is maybe that with the exception of something like Senate Bill 69 or Senate Bill 32 that really Story County's involved with, that generally for those bills affecting justice and planning and all the range of different things that affect governments and communities, the Nevada Association of Counties really is monitoring and lobbying and working on all of the bills that would apply to county business in the state. And some counties are asking their commissioners just to generally blanketly support any bill that's supported by the Nevada Association of Counties, with exception of, and then those could be discussed at each commission meeting. So if there is a bill that NACO is sponsoring that, you know, really affects us adversely, of course this commission could say, you know, we don't support that, or we want to be neutral on it, and then we could work as an internal team, you know, to work with NACO and say, well, Story County's not really in support of that or whatever. But otherwise, the other 1,000 bills or maybe even hundreds of bills that NACO might be watching, we're just pretty much going along with. I want to note that the commissioner is very involved with NACO. Commissioner Carmona is our representative on NACO. And so it isn't just passing the responsibility to an association. Our county is actively involved in their meetings and discussions and overall programming for these matters. So before we go to anything else, I want to ask what you all feel about taking that approach henceforth.
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any updates or input at this point?
No, not really. No.
Okay. From my perspective, I think it works pretty well.
Okay.
So, Vice Chairman, do you have any input?
Yeah, I would support that as an orientation towards Nate, and I think maybe we take a similar approach to bills that are very narrowly construed, kind of in the direction of our other elected officials at the county, where they can provide their own feedback or involvement, and then if they specifically request that we take a formalized position, or we look at something and say that maybe we have a little different perspective than theirs, we take it up. But otherwise, maybe a blanket policy of just supporting whatever position they take unless otherwise noted. It seems like maybe that gives us an efficiency there and defers to their subject matter expertise as well.
Okay.
And Commissioner Gilman makes a good point. Our other elected officials are also following their associations respective to their offices. And a lot of times they're engaging in conversations with those folks in a similar manner we're describing here. So kind of NACO really is your association. Clerk Treasurer Hendel, you have associations you work with in your world, the Recorders Association, Assessors, there's a GFOA, I think I said that right, Government Fiscal Officers Association, you know, respective to those offices that they're working with as well. Anybody that's a department head, including myself, that's appointed or employed, we're funneling all of our stuff through the county commissioners, as you're the ultimate policymakers for the county, while those elected officers of each office are directly elected, they may take their own independent approaches. So with that said, if you're still comfortable, we'll prepare accordingly. And we'll still put SB 69, AB 77, or SB 77, and some, or certain bills of key interest will still continue to show up on the agendas, if you so wish, so we can engage in those.
I think that's a good plan.
Okay. Another one, I think at the moment, I would pass this one to Commissioner Mitchell if he has anything you'd like to discuss with Senate Bill 32 regarding the Virginia and Truckee Railway.
I'm happy to take that for clarification. That's Assembly Bill 32, I believe.
Oh, sorry about that.
No, that's quite all right. Really no updates to speak of on that. I believe it received its initial hearing either before or just after our last meeting. Some good questions were asked. One of the questions that was asked was, it seemed there was an openness from the committee. Well, they didn't take any specific position, an openness to studying the Virginia and Truckee Railway Commission and what its future might be and what's possible. But there was mentioned that there's a limit on the amount of staff time and resources that they as a committee could use, and they ask if both the Railway Commission and potentially us as a local jurisdiction involved would be willing to work with them or help assemble data and kind of provide some preparation or support for that should they move forward with it. And we indicated that we had an openness to doing so, obviously not a commitment at this point, but just an understanding that if they create a study in the interim, that we'd have to be actively involved in that. It wouldn't be them doing everything by themselves. So that's it.
Thank you, Vice Chairman.
I'm going to make a mention before. I do want to introduce again Will Adler from Silver State Government Relations. I did mention you earlier, Will, so you were not forgotten. There is a bill, AB 242, it's a bill regarding sagebrush ecosystems, but I did make a note of that maybe the fire district may be interested in this as they're doing fuels management programs throughout the county. Chief Lonecar agreed that he said if you'd like, he could come up and speak to that. I do see Mr. Morgan representing fire today. If Mr. Morgan does want to speak to it, I certainly welcome him to come up about any concerns they have with a bill that may potentially protect sagebrush in such a way that hinders the fire district from being able to do fire fuels reduction. If not, sorry to put you on the spot, sir. I think what I said was somewhat self-indicative of our concerns of that bill, and we would be monitoring this bill at this time.
Okay.
All right. So next is there. We'll talk about the last set of the bills I'd like to talk about are just kind of overall the alphabet soup that you see in that agenda item. But next, of course, would be Senate Bill 69. At this point, there are still ongoing conversations going on with some folks in the region, including with GOED, as well as the Nevada Department of Taxation, with particular regard to that data center abatement section, that auditing of those co-located pieces of equipment in those centers. There's a possibility so far that we might be able to resolve this issue or be able to amend the bill such to get data centers out of the bill and focus more on an administrative approach with those two entities and maybe other state entities. We are in discussions potentially as well. I want to ask this board what their thoughts are as far as staying strong on requiring that we have that engagement with the GOED board when these $1.0 and $3.5 billion companies come our way, that we're actively participating as stakeholders in those applications, engaged throughout the entire process. And that there would be a mandatory government services agreement for those two tax categories, and that the fire district would be at the table. What's brought to our attention and what we are talking about is some counties have more of an issue with the NRS than other counties. Story County has a development agreement that really allows these uses like data center or like gigafactories without a special use permit, for example, or without further development agreements. The city of Reno may be in a situation where these are located in an airport district that has some freedoms and limitations from the city, and that we recognize there's many counties in the state that either don't have building departments, don't have zoning, or they don't have the structures in place to take on a massive project like this without some oversight and help from GOED. We believe that our bill addresses those matters. We also believe that some counties like Clark or Washoe may have special use permits and regulations in place where they can control things at a local level, and maybe some of the issues in this bill would not necessarily be as important to them as it would be to other jurisdictions in the state. There is one item that's very hot on our bill. It is the having a member on the board of GOED from our county, an appointee. And that is one thing I would like to ask from this board, if you're comfortable giving directions for us to continue exploring alternatives with GOED and others to see if there might be some middle ground we could come up with on that. But so far, we would still like to hold strong on those other elements of this bill that we think are important and keep it as is. I don't know if Mr. Adler, you have anything you'd like to add to that. Otherwise, that's it.
Thank you. Will Adler for the record with Silver State Government Relations. Also, Dev has accompanied me up today. And generally, I just want to speak to the legislative session as a whole, or sort of how it's been going and the tone of the building. The governor's budget is the top issue at hand, where we ended up with a first introductory budget of negative $300 million. So that sets a tone of nobody's got a lot of money left and everybody's going to be fighting over it. There is a lot to do when it comes to actually the restructuring of Medicaid and what's going to happen when it comes to the piles of money, how they get distributed, and where some of the calculations may go from here. I do think there's a bit of a weight towards the population of a county, and kind of does that reflect on the repayment status? There's already things in the books and in place, but there's a lot of talk of changes and things around that. So in issues like that and other issues like Skip Daly's county pay bill, SB116, just in particular, I and Story County really bring a rural voice to the table, and we're actually trying to bring that perspective. Whereas most voices do come from the urban centers, you have a lot of elected officials from Washoe County and Clark County. We do want to make sure that the smaller perspectives and the smaller populations and the dynamics of governance at these levels do come through. So we are going to sort of engage on some of these topics as need be, or as they seem to maybe take a turn to need to have some Story County perspective or rural engagement on them. So we're just mentioning those to cover them in general. And then in addition to Mr. Osborne's sort of list, I do think the big bill of the day and the week is Story County's bill itself, SB 69. Previously, we haven't had a lot of engagement through the business communities or GOED itself or any of the chambers. We've taken some more direct approaches to saying we would like to hear from you and hear your amendments. Those direct approaches have been heard, I think, because we do now have some direct dialogue and interface between the manufacturers, the different chambers, and GOED itself saying, we do understand your needs, we understand where you're coming from, but we do ask that you change a few things this way or that. As Mr. Osborne stated, having a board seat on the GOED board could become cantankerous, actually, if multiple large abatements came up at the same GOED meeting. They might have to add a lot of chairs, right? So there were some mechanical things they brought up that I said, that's fair. So we're not here to be overly brandish, but we do have statements to make and we do have positions to take, and we are going to make those statements and take those positions. That's what I'm here to do. And we took a pretty hard line, but we're getting a lot of understanding why we're bringing this and what we're doing it for. We look forward to the committee hearing on Thursday, and I think we have everything lined up to have a pretty good presentation with the manager, chair, and myself. If there's any questions about any of the dialogue, how's it going, or anything like that, I'd be glad to field any questions live. But yeah, there was a couple live topics and a couple things yet to come. Again, the governor does have his own BDR that is around economic development. Has some foreshadowing about being similar to the GOED bill, AB 77, but we don't know today because we haven't seen the language yet what exactly is going to be coming, but we have our eyes out and we'll be here to monitor what comes out and where it's headed. Anything direct from the commission? I'll take it now. Thank you.
Thank you, Will. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything for Will at this time?
Nothing, thank you.
Vice Chairman?
Just a couple of comments, and thank you. One of the things I think that would be helpful is there's on several of the issues that are in our bill, there has been a representation made that there may be ways to address those outside of, particularly early notification and participation outside of a bill. And I guess one of the questions that comes to my mind is, are we okay exploring those, not necessarily committing to them at this point, but exploring ways to resolve some of those issues outside of the bill? The second piece is, I'm not hearing solutions for everything or other issues that we've identified in the bill yet that could be done outside the bill. So my take is, I'm open to discussing ways to solve some of those issues outside of the bill. That doesn't replace the need for the bill, because in my mind, the six issues that we brought up in the bill are all things that we'd like to see addressed. And so I'm wondering from my fellow commissioners if there's an openness to exploring some of those, but not necessarily saying, yeah, we'll get rid of the bill, because there are things that we do need the bill for, but if there are ways outside of legislation that we can address some of them, is that acceptable, and can we instruct staff and our lobbyists to move forward with that?
If I may comment on this as I'm at the lectern, Will Adler for the record, Silver State Government Relations. Yes, Commissioner Mitchell, I do agree with sort of that general broader perspective of, you know, let's still address what we can in this bill and try and address what may be addressable outside of the language outside the bill. To speak to this without over-speaking to this, maybe, County Manager Osborne and myself did actually have a direct conversation with the Department of Taxation just yesterday. Some of the comments that were made in that meeting were leading comments that we went into, because such questions were asked of us by agencies like GOED and other places asking, you know, do you need such language in a bill? Cannot you receive such information from, say, the Department of Taxation at a state level? So we are actually trying to track down some of those comments, actually work with some of the language suggestions that were raised by GOED and other direct parties. And yes, I think just having the vessel here and keeping the introductory language as it is to some degree intact just shows the position we took for the reason we took it. We didn't write all this in a bill for nonsense reasons, right? We actually have purpose behind each choice. But yeah, we are not here to be demonstrative and not work with interested parties, be it businesses in the park or GOED or the different agencies and chambers. So yes, if you just give us general direction to try and work it out and figure it out inside and outside, and what we think ultimately is the line for what needs to be in the bill, I believe County Manager Osborne will have some comments as well, but we're trying to determine that right now. Thank you.
If you're okay, Mr. Chairman and Vice Chairman Mitchell, I don't know if you want to deliberate amongst yourselves or if you want me to help kind of pull a couple things in here that we think are important to us that maybe in the middle.
Why don't you try to pull things together first?
All right. Well, we believe so far what we've expressed in our meetings, and Mr. Adler is right, we've had conversations with both GOED as well as Department of Taxation. The Department of Taxation matter really is exclusive to the data center element. Hold on, wait for this. We run that at 12 o'clock to let everybody know it's fixed. So really that's exclusive to the data center element. We're trying to get that out of the bill. There are some concerns about confidentiality and some other things. And we think we might be able to do that, whether the resolution comes immediate or takes a little bit of time. There definitely is an interesting conversation going on with ways to address that auditing element of that. The second one, really, that GOED has expressed some concerns about is us having a designee on the GOED board. And mind you, that would mean a county commissioner and then a fire commissioner and then potentially, you know, a city council person or whatever it might be. And we've let them know that we want to talk, you know, propose some language, go out, let us take a look at it. Maybe we can go back and forth on that, like Mr. Ladler had alluded to. And I would like to ask that this board is comfortable that we continue in those two directions. As far as having the fire district represented in a 1.0 and a $3.5 billion gigafactory type of a project, and as far as the county being at the table and discussing the matters at the appropriate time of an application, and at the point of having all those representatives involved, we really feel that those are absolutely essential, reminding us that there are some jurisdictions that don't have any other ways to address impacts of such a large company coming their way, whether it's police, fire, infrastructure, or you have it. So we're asking at this point, and we welcome your thoughts and what you would like to direct us to do, board, is to hold strong on fire district, hold strong on that required GSA, unless the county says we don't need a GSA because we got something else instead. They would work with GOED on that, and that we would be involved in that process from the beginning, and that we continue to discuss administrative potential ways to address the data center matter, and continue engaging with GOED and others about having maybe an alternative to having us on that board. We are going to have a presentation this Thursday, as Mr. Adler said, to the Senate, I always say Revenue and Finance, Revenue and Economic Development Committee, and we're prepared to, whatever this board gives direction, to let them know that we're engaged in these conversations and there's still some work to do.
Okay. That's it for now.
Thank you.
All right. So, Commissioner Gilman, is that clear for you as to the direction that they want?
Yeah, stand strong, but be open to their suggestions that come in, and then we'll discuss that, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's how I took it. Okay, Vice Chairman, you good with that game plan?
Yes, I am good with that. I feel like we may need to massage some of the wording on some of our bill, because the way it came out, and I don't know if that was on our end or if it was LCBN, but it may not exactly represent where we're at. And I'll give you just one example on that. We were asking for abatements not to be retroactive into a previous fiscal year. That's kind of the pain point that we've had, where we have to go back and open up a previous fiscal year and refund taxes that were paid. I believe the current language on the bill says that they have to be, they have to go into effect when they're approved. That's different than not being retroactive to a previous.
I agree.
I think you froze.
Yeah.
Commissioner Mitchell, hold on, you froze. Commissioner Mitchell, if you maybe turn your camera off and back on, it might read. Oh, you're back. Okay. So we may not have heard everything you said. We heard everything up to approved versus the time that that application is considered for that retroactive.
Yeah. Is it coming through all right now?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So I mean, the long and the short of it is, I just want to make sure that we're clear on the intent and realize that we may need to make sure that our wording lines up with what we really need out of the bill. Because I don't know if it had to do with how we crafted it or what came out of LCB, which doesn't always accurately 100% reflect what our intent was. For me personally, I'm comfortable with holding fast on some of the items, which there, in my mind, clearly is not a way to take care of outside of legislation, and then looking at alternatives for those areas where we think we could do something outside the bill.
May I respond to Commissioner Mitchell, Chair?
Sure.
All right, Austin Osborne for the record. I think what Commissioner Mitchell is saying, and I think I hear this right, is right now the language that we have is the time that retroactive application would become is really dependent on the time that an application is approved. GOED would like to see it at the point of received. But what Commissioner Mitchell is saying, it's really not respective to that. It's really respective to the prior fiscal year. And it doesn't say that, and I would be happy to discuss a modification or some kind of back and forth to make the bill really focus more on the prior fiscal year as opposed to the time an application is received or approved. I think I'm hearing that right. Thank you.
Did you hear you right, Clay?
Yes, that's my point. And that concept may still be problematic for Billet. They've expressed a concern, I think, that it becomes somewhat arbitrary to not be able to go retroactive, and their concern is they want the company to feel comfortable moving dirt and spending money while the process is working through. And so that may require some further conversation. But I feel like our position is the biggest pain point is if we have to go back to a previous year, that's kind of where we want to hold the line. And if we can come up with something that accommodates their concerns, that would be great. But I think tightening up that language, that piece is important.
Will Adler for the record with Silver State Government Relations. I agree with you, Mr. Mitchell, and I do think that was somewhat a product of intentions and LCB drafting coming out a little different. And I think there's a way we can massage or even directly delete that language and rewrite it in the correct fashion. Even if it ended up with it being the company has to give the county notice that they believe that they're going to ask for a rebate in the next calendar year, that could be sufficient to at least let the county fiscal team know what's coming if there is a hangover from the year before. But today, now we just don't have anything in that information or teeth pile. So I'll try and figure out what you stated and your intentions, and I'll write up an amendment directly on that piece of it and a few other of the pieces we're trying to figure out. There's no perfection, but the better good from where we are today. Yeah. I don't know if this is the end of SB 69, but I would also like to at least state a few other bills we are tracking and looking into for the team.
Okay.
If now is an appropriate time.
Are we wrapped up on SB 69? There's no other direction needed?
I'm comfortable, and I'm preparing to summarize at the end as well.
Okay. Go ahead, Will.
Okay. I do think there is a good bill coming when it comes to rail studies, actually, but in the rail study bill, I think we may have misstated it on the agenda today.
We did.
And it is AB 258, I believe, but the light rail study could actually be in conjunction with sort of the RTC work we're doing today regionally. It comes to RTC, Story County has taken a good forward stance of trying to help solve the public transportation issues around Highway 80. Possibly having a light rail or some sort of rail-enhanced corridor could be a solution for the current bottleneck at 80. So I just wanted to make sure we stated the correct bill number on that one, and that we are actively kind of tracking that bill and looking forward to it. And then we do have two bills that are trying to do the same effort. One is SB 232 from Senator Krasner, allocating money for veterans in the Virginia City VA. But we also have AB 300, which has almost the exact same language from Assemblyman Ken Gray. So I do think the Veterans Authority asked both representatives for some sort of support, but we will try and blend those together into one bill and make sure that a unified support kind of comes out of that, because sometimes when they see two vessels, it kind of stalls both. So we'll try and make the two sponsors work together and blend those together just to make sure that's clear, that we're not killing one bill or another. We'll try and get them to work together. But yeah, that's sort of the cleanup stuff, including the sagebrush ecosystem that Austin mentioned for the new add-ons this week. We do still have SB 78, BNI's consolidation of boards bill. That's got some chop to go, and AB 32, the VNT railway bill, but those were mentioned, and the AB 128 ombudsman bill and public records request. We are also actively monitoring that and making comments as needed. That is all.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Chair, there's a couple other bills, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Okay, I just want to make a small correction on the rail study. That is for Northern Nevada and Southern Nevada. I believe it's AB 256, and no worries. And so there's a couple things on that Vet Center. Lisa Miesel is with us as well from my office. She's been looking into this, as she works a lot on our veterans policies and things like that. But at this point, We believe it might be most appropriate for just to give direction for us to monitor and research this bill and look into how it might apply in our area. The public records request ombudsman that Mr. Adler talked about, the rail study for North and Southern Nevada. There's a bill regarding sign language and ADA requirements. It might be pop capped, but we're looking to see if maybe the potential that we would have to, per request, provide sign language interpretation of these meetings. We're looking at that. And then the daylight savings time bill, we ask, there was an interest expressed from this board earlier to look into that. We can take whatever action you want, but at this point we're asking just to monitor and keep an eye on those. I will note the daylight savings time bill that's in there. That means keep it standard. That means there's no jump forward and late sun in the summer. It means it stays dark later. And that's all we have at this point.
And there's no modification regarding that daylight savings bill? I thought that was open for discussion, but it's pretty firm that how the time's set up. So there's no way they would happen to flip that?
My understanding, Austin Osborne, for the record, if I'm answering your question, I don't know anything about other than the bill was submitted, is to keep standard time all year long. So we would no longer jump ahead to daylight savings time in the spring and summer. That would cause the sun to go down later. It would be like it is now all the time. I could be incorrect, but I do believe that it requires congressional action ultimately if the state is going to, if the legislators approve this and the governor approves it. I believe it might require congressional approval as well. I believe there's maybe like 25 or 30 other states that have taken similar action like this, but they have not gone to the new time. I'm not going to go any further in that because it may get, there's some complication on whether you're going to daylight savings time all the time or whether you're going to standard time all the time. I don't want to get there unless Brian wants to get there legally. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you. No other bill discussion, no other direction needed?
Not at this time.
I actually watched the hearing on the daylight savings bill and have just a little bit of clarity on that.
Sure.
County Manager Osborne is correct. The way that it's set up with the federal government is that states can opt out of daylight savings of their own accord. They cannot opt for permanent daylight savings without federal approval. In my mind, the workaround would be going to standard time in the mountain time zone, which I believe is what Arizona does, and that puts them an hour ahead, but without being on daylight savings time. I don't think that was discussed at all, but one amendment that was discussed, and several amendments have been submitted, the sponsor of the bill is open to changing the effective date to January 1st of next year so that we would finish out, instead of switching back July 1st, which is what's written in the bill right now. So we would go on to daylight savings this weekend and go off on July 1st if the bill passes. She says she'd be willing to just let us finish out daylight savings the way it is, and then basically we'd never go back on to it if the bill passed.
Thank you for that, Vice Chairman.
Hello, Will Adler for the record and Solar State Government Relations. Chair Mitchell is correct. There was plenty of discussion that the bill could be amended to sort of make it get done at least, or however to do it. So standard time seems to be the way that a state can opt into a time and just stay there. I don't think we can opt forward into mountain time because there isn't a handy time zone ahead of us. Unless we did Hawaii's time, maybe, I guess. But I do think the way to forward is to just not keep moving the clock, is to stay to standard time. But technically, the FAA has to confirm a state's time zone because all planes have to know what time zone a state is in for continual air traffic between states. You have to know the time leaving and the time arrival. So there's some check-in due to flight schedules. That is why there's a federal approval of that. So there you go.
All right. Thank you.
Remember when telling time was easy?
Anything else?
Remember when telling time was easy?
The government got involved. So go ahead.
I don't have anything. Austin Osborne, for the record, I'm happy to summarize everything and ask if you'd like to motion to approve everything incorporated therein type of a thing, and to make sure that we're aligned with what this board would like to do.
Let's do that.
Okay. Senate Bill 69, we're going to continue obviously supporting our own bill. We're going to discuss with GOED and taxation and other state agencies about those elements we discussed today, and we're going to hold firm on the other elements that we discussed today.
Okay.
AB 77, the Governor's Office of Economic Development, the abatement bill, we're going to continue to, at this point, monitor and engage in that, but not take a position at this time, if I'm hearing that right. And AB 32, V&T Railway, we will continue to support that and let Commissioner Mitchell continue to take that lead as he's the rail representative of this board. Okay. On the veterans bill, continue to monitor public records request, ombudsman, monitor rail study for North and South, monitor, and note that's AB 256, sign language and ADA matters, we're continuing to monitor, daylight savings time monitor. And then this board will take then a supporting all NACO bills, Nevada Association of Counties, unless brought to this board otherwise for a different position. And then AB 242, sagebrush ecosystem, continue to monitor, potentially oppose working in collaboration with the fire district as related to fuels reduction programs.
Okay.
Let me make sure I covered everything.
Everything covered on my list.
Okay. And yes, that's all I have.
Okay. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything to add at this time?
I do not, thank you.
Okay, Vice Chairman, do you have anything to add at this time?
Just one bill that I'm hoping that my fellow commissioners will indulge potentially putting on the radar for staff to monitor and potentially support in the future, and that's AB 33, which is the State Controller's bill to create an Office of Inspector General, which is fairly common in other states, but he just brought that forward. And the best way I can summarize it is it would be like a Nevada Doge, if you will, maybe not quite as disruptive, hopefully, but a way to look for waste and broaden use and that kind of thing. And then the last thing that was on my mind was just instruction as well to monitor and kind of default support whatever position our other county elected officials take on bills unless they specifically ask us to weigh in or we have specific concerns about something. Otherwise, our default position would be to support whatever position they take.
Okay.
And may I note, Mr. Chairman, Austin Osborne, for the record, that our elected officials are aware, and for Commissioner Mitchell, that they can participate in these meetings and discussions at any time they want, and we do discuss generally things of interest that they would like our assistance on.
Okay.
And I made note of Commissioner Mitchell's items here and ask if the board would incorporate those also into its motion if it desires.
All right. Is there any public comment? All right. Vice Chairman, are you prepared to make a motion?
Yes, I am. Commissioner Mitchell moved to direct county staff and lobbyists to represent Story County on known BDR's bills and other potential legislation affecting Story County as discussed on the record in our meeting today.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Will. Thank you, Austin. Thank you, Clay. Moving on to item number 30 is discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval of business license second readings A through N. My fellow commissioners have any questions regarding those second readings?
None, thank you.
Thank you. Is there any public comment regarding those second readings? All right, not seeing any. Vice Chairman, you prepare to make a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve the second reading of business licenses under item 30 listed as A through N.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, gentlemen. On to item number 31. This is the second and final time for public comment. Is there any public comment in the courtroom today?
Real quick.
Jim Hindle, Clerk and Treasurer. Relative to the opening of vehicle registration window, DMV, I was asked to emphasize the couple points again. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 9 until noon, 1 until 3. It would also be just for Story County and credit card transaction only.
Thank you for that, Jim. All right. Any other public comment? Not seeing any. It gives me great pleasure to announce that we're on item number 32. It is 12:21 p.m. and this meeting is adjourned.